How do you stray from God's presence? Fear not. Pastor Chris and his teachings will heal you and bring you back to the word of Jesus, our Savior. Attention, people of Jesus. Adam's tale is an extraordinary one for all. Can I get an amen?
Amen! Amen!
Adam wandered off from God's plan of love. Thus, we're here today to be reminded of our way back to his divine presence so we can connect back to our true Creator.
Amazing grace. How sweet. How sweet. You know, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is what? At his right hand there are pleasures evermore. In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Now I can understand what happened to Adam and what happened ever since. When Adam was driven away from the presence of God because he and his wife had sinned against God, they were driven away from the presence of God. And then an angel, think about it, what a day. Oh, the saddest day in human history. When man was driven away from God's presence. I think it was sad not only for man but also for God. Man was driven away. God's best friend had to be driven away. What a day. I'm thinking, what went to the minds of the angels? Heaven must have been very quiet when that happened. Heaven must have been very quiet. Because all the angels knew, God always wanted to have fellowship with someone. Couldn't have fellowship with the angels. And now he had his Adam. And the Bible says how that God would go to the garden in the cool of the day. He'll call him by name. But this one time, he called him and Adam's hiding. Adam, where art thou? He's hiding from God. God says, where are you? Where? He says, I can hear you. Come. No. We can't come out. Why can't you come out? We're naked. The Lord said, who told you you're naked? Did you do what I told you not to do? The woman you gave me the ear. Black day. Terrible day. And God said, now that the man has become as one of us, making his own decisions, he said, out. Get out of the garden. Go and fend for yourself, since you are gods. Yeah, that's what Satan told them. He said, don't believe God. If you eat of it, you'll be as gods. So now that they want to be as gods, okay, make your decisions. Get out of my garden. Go and fend for yourself. Get out. Because now, the unrighteousness has been manifested. God helped them to cover their nakedness. That wasn't what they were supposed to have. Remember, he's given others robes of righteousness. So where did the robes come from? From the earth? So God had robes. Why didn't he give them robes? Get out. And then the Bible says, painful, God sent an angel with a flaming sword to stay at the gate of the garden and disallow him from ever coming back there. Go. Oh. God has had two terrible days. Two terrible days. This was the first one. This was his most terrible day that he couldn't even talk about it to say, I regret. No. It was too terrible. He sent his man away. man that he loved so much, who was made in his image and in his likeness. God had to send him away. You know, I want you to understand what kind of a God he is. He's a just God. His love doesn't cancel his justice. You see it? He's a just God. His love doesn't cancel his justice. So he sent him away. Put an angel there to guard the gate to the garden. Man is not allowed to come in. Suddenly man discovers something. In his heart, he knew he had lost something. This rich fellowship that he had with God was over. That was the beginning of religion. Man began to do everything he could to get that presence again. Even in the days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you remember, they make a stone, a pillar. Jacob said, "This stone shall be God's house." How could this stone be God's house? But it just tells you how they thought. The dream for God's presence, in his presence, is fullness. Understand it, fullness of joy. There's no joy like what you have in the presence of God. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, it wasn't a Mount of Transfiguration. It was a mountain. He went there and was transfigured. Do you understand? Not like when people go there, they get transfigured. Oh, I love this. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Let's look at verse 29. St. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 9, from verse 29. Oh, read it for me. It's up the screen. 1, 2, go. As he prayed, I believe this happened to Jesus many, many times. But this was one occasion that the disciples had the opportunity to be there and to watch and to see what was happening. Do you realize this happens to you a lot of times? It was their eyes that were open to see. For the Bible tells us shortly after that, Elijah and Moses appeared. So it was their eyes that got opened to see the glory. So when Jesus was transfigured before them, their eyes were open to see this. If their eyes hadn't been opened, they wouldn't have seen it. And yet, that's what happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You are transfigured. This is why God wants us to pray in the Spirit. Because every time you pray in the Spirit, this is what happens to you. Remember when Stephen was to be arrested. The Bible tells us as he came to before the council, his form was like the form of an angel. They looked at him and he looked like an angel to them. Amazing. Was he like that everywhere? No. What changed? The people were allowed to see the glory. Remember, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appeared with two of his disciples. They were walking together in the street. They didn't recognize him. What in the world happened? Did his face change? No. He followed them home. They still didn't recognize him. They sat down to eat. And then he took the bread. He's supposed to be the guest. They should take the bread and give him, but he took the bread and broke it. That looked like Jesus. And he said, "Take." That's the communion. Their eyes were open. He disappeared. And you know, I mean, they went bananas. Glory to God. they had to go tell the story. We saw Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. In that presence, it says, there's fullness of joy. Adam had lost something. Adam had lost something. But now he couldn't even find his way to the garden. No, the presence of God was gone. Man couldn't find his way. And this went on year after year, year after year, year after year, till finally God cut a covenant with Abraham so that he could do something for man. And you know the story, from Abraham all the way to Moses. And now he gives instructions for the tabernacle so that his presence will come again to that tabernacle. But the children of Israel couldn't enter that tabernacle. Only the priests. And then only the high priest could go into the presence in the most holy place called the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was between the cherubims of glory. And when this high priest went in there, he had to have a lot of incense. A lot of incense. And then, with the blood, animal sacrifice. And he had to be dressed for the occasion. And went into the presence of God. He was the only one to see that glory. And the glory of God would come into that place. But he couldn't live there. It was only a testimony of the reality of Jehovah. And then he went away. If he wasn't prepared, if he wasn't perfected, because he had to offer his own sacrifices, sacrifices for his own sin, to purify himself before coming to offer sacrifices for the people. And this had to be done every year. Every year. This was the first tabernacle. Think about it. The presence of God. Man wanted that divine presence. It was what man wanted that made him go into all kinds of religions. All the religions of the world today are seeking the same thing. The lost presence. And they have no way to get back into that presence. No way. No way to get back into that presence. Until something interesting. This man, Jesus, makes a startling statement. Says something that, you know, they had a hard time understanding it. St. John chapter 14. Go to verse 6. Read verse 6. Want to go. Why? Start from verse 1. Verse 1. To the Father. Someone was driven away from the Father's presence. This one is going to the Father. Then they say, Master, where are you going? He says, you know the way. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. They said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He says, I'm going to the Father. Where is the way to the Father? He says, I am the way. This was what Adam needed. This was what Abraham needed. What Moses needed. What the Jewish priesthood needed. This was what everybody needed. All these many years. The way to the Father's presence. And now Jesus declares it. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Startling statement. Startling. 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 How could it be the way? I am the way. That's what Jesus said. I am the way. I want you to think about it. If Jesus is the way, no man comes to the Father but by Jesus. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. I am the way. Not a way. The way. Okay. The way to where? To the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can never find the Father but by Jesus. He is the way to the Father. The Jews are just, they need to understand this. But they're not getting it yet. But they understand what he's saying. So there's a little confusion. Go to verse 7. Verse 7. Same book, same chapter. Read, one, two, go. Oh. You see, there's something that they needed to get. Now, at the end of that age, God manifests something interesting. They knew what was going on in the temple. They were Jews. The sacrifices belonged to them. They knew about these things. The covenants, the fathers, they knew all this. But God was wrapping up things. He is ready for his final sacrifice. The priests have been offering sacrifices year after year. Year after year. Year after year. Year after year. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4. Somebody read for me. Oh. But they were offering them. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. But you remember, as Jesus passed by, after his baptism at the Jordan, John the Baptist had baptized Jesus in water. The Bible says the next day, John sees Jesus passing by. Says to his disciples, he said, come, come. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Think about it. Thank you. others have been sacrificed. John's a prophet. And he says, this is God's Lamb. This one takes away the sins of the world. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But this is God's Lamb. God's sacrifice. I can understand what John was thinking. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 9. From verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'll explain to you. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Bible says, the high priest went into God's presence with the blood of bulls and of goats. Every year. You see, God had to set for them a type of the sanctuary in heaven. Do you understand? There's a sanctuary in heaven. And so he gave them a type of that sanctuary. So the high priest went into this one because he had the blood of bulls and of goats that could not take away sins. There was a sanctuary in heaven where the blood must be offered and where the purification of sins must take place. It has to take place in heaven, but man cannot get there. Man cannot get into God's presence. So Jesus comes, not with the blood of bulls and goats. He comes with his own blood. You remember when Jesus was buried? In that garden, they rolled a stone to cover the entrance of the cave. The Bible tells us the third day, very early in the morning, when the women came to complete the embalming, the stone, they had been thinking, oh, there's a stone there. Who's going to help us roll the stone away? We might just have to beg the soldiers. They get there, the stone had been rolled off of the entrance. The soldiers are not there. They can't believe it. They don't even try to find the body. They're running back to tell the disciples, come, somebody has desecrated the grave. Somebody has to come and help, please. But while they're running, Mary thinks, oh, okay, you go. Those ones go. And Mary thinks maybe she'll hang around here. She might just discover who did it. And then she sees whom she thinks is the gardener. So she says, hello, sir. Where have you laid him? And she's not particularly expecting an answer. She looks away. And Jesus says, Mary. She recognized that voice. Turned to Jesus. And ran toward him. And Jesus said, stop, don't touch me. for I haven't ascended to my Father. But go and tell who?
Brethren.
My brethren. He didn't say go and tell my disciples. Go and tell my brethren. I ascend to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Remarkable. Shortly afterward, he comes to the disciples. And they touch him. Why? Because he had gone and come back. Where did he go? That's what we just read. Go back to that verse. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's where he went. With his own blood. Somebody say, with his own blood.
With his own blood.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what he did. With his own blood. With his own blood. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me read to you from verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. You remember that? I explained that earlier. Now, next verse. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Look at it. Read it for me. Read this. The Holy Ghost. This signifies that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. I want you to understand what he just told us. Go back to verse 7. But into the second went, you see, there's the outer tabernacle, sometimes called the first tabernacle. Okay? Then the inner sanctuary. All right? Good. Which is the one he refers to as the second. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, and not without blood. He had to go in there with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. This, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. That is to say, this most holy place, holiest of all, or holy of holies, this place was separated from the first sanctuary with a thick curtain. Josephus says it was 4 inches thick. That's quite thick. And think about the fact that this was about 15 feet high. Now, the coming in, or rather he is coming in, the priest, the high priest, and goes to this curtain. No one follows him in there. And he might die if he didn't purge himself before coming. So he goes inside in the presence of God. The curtain is still there. The others are not allowed to look in. You don't look in. You don't try to look in. You let him go. And then if he dies there, there's a chain around his waist. There are bells around his waist. Every time he takes a step, the bells ring. You know, the jingling. And then, if they hear a lot of sound, once and for all, he's dead. So they pull him by the chain and bring him out and bury him. So you don't go in there to pick him. With this curtain, it showed that the way into the way, I want you to mark, the way into the most holy place was not yet made manifest. The way. While as yet the first tabernacle was standing. But remember, when Jesus was on the cross, what happened? He was on the cross, he cries out, "Eloi, Eloi." This was the second dark day for God. When his son cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He's on the cross. The Bible tells us the Father doesn't look at sin. He turns away from him. Jesus knew how the Father would feel about this when he was telling him, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me." This was going to be a dark day. Jesus didn't want it. The Father didn't want it, but it had to be so. It had to be so. In the same way that he sent Adam out of the garden, not because he wanted it, but it had to be so. It had to be so. You remember Saul, King Saul, who gave an instruction, "Nobody eats anything, nobody moves until I give the word." And we're fasting. Nobody moves. Then his son moved and defeated the enemy. But the king had spoken that if anybody took the wrong step today, he is done for. He must be killed. And who was the one that breached the instruction? It was his son, Jonathan. And what did the king say? "You gotta die." The people had to save him from his hands. Because look what we got, the victory. When the king speaks, there's power. You remember when Herod gave his word, said to the daughter of Herodias, who danced and danced and danced, and he said, "Ask whatever you want to the half of the kingdom." Terrible. What was he thinking? Where was the emperor? I think he was drunk. But then he said, "Ask up to half of my kingdom and I'll give you anything." She ran to her mother and said, "What do I ask?" Mother said, There's a man that's been troubling us. John the Baptist." She couldn't think of, can you imagine? An opportunity to get whatever, anything nice. All she was thinking about all that night, throughout the dance, was what John said. "You are not supposed to marry your husband's brother." Now, she gets the chance. She says, "Tell the king you want John the Baptist's head. He's a prophet." Herod was sorry. Herod was sorry. He felt terrible. But he's a king. He had spoken. He knew the value of words. He couldn't change it now. He said, "Okay. Is that really what you want?" "Yes, sir." And they brought the head of John the Baptist. Where was God? Did you ever think about that? Where was God when somebody was asking for the prophet's head and they actually went to get it? They killed him and brought his head into the party. Terrible, but it happened. So God didn't want it, but it had to be so. It had to be so. Glory to God.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Might this be the way into the holiest that was not yet made manifest? While as yet this first tabernacle was standing, Jesus is on the cross. He gives the last word, Father, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, the Bible tells us the rocks began to crack. The earth began to quake. Did you know that there was darkness for 3 hours? And then somebody ran from the temple. Priest, 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 the curtain. What happened to the curtain? It just started tearing in my presence. What? Yes. How? Who tore it? Who tore it? Now the priest is going to tear his own clothes because, you know, who could have done that? No, sir. No, no. It was torn from the top. From the top? From the top. By itself. The Bible says the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. And the way into the most holy place. What is it saying? It's not here. The most holy place is no longer here. The priesthood has been sacked. Yeah, you can't bring sacrifices here anymore. It's gone. The glory cloud that will come over the ark will never come again. Question now. So who is that man up there on the cross? There's a soldier who's in charge of the crucifixion. The Bible says when he saw everything that was happening, including how they ran to tell them there that the veil had been torn. The earthquake, the darkness, the soldier, the officer in charge of the crucifixion. The Bible says he fell on his face and he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. This man was the Son of God. But it's not over yet. Go straight to Book of Hebrews. Chapter 10, from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Uh-oh. Come on here. Remember, he entered into the most holy place in heaven to obtain eternal redemption. And now, we are told, look at it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He not only entered there, you know, he brought us in. We now have boldness through his blood. Next verse, you'll see this, you'll love it. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, I just told you, when the veil was torn, it was the man on the cross who was the new veil. So, we understand when he says, the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest. Now, the way we can understand, when that veil was torn in the temple, the way was made manifest. He was on the cross. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the Jewish mind, reading the prophets, can understand what Jesus is saying here. I am the way. You know what they killed him for? I'll tell you in a second. Put that scripture back up there. 19. He says, from verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, Jesus has become our high priest, okay? All right. Oh, let us draw near with a true heart. You know, this is another section. But this is wonderful. Jesus Christ is the new and living way. Okay? But that's not all. And that's not where I'm going. But this is beautiful. He's consecrated a new and living way. And we have boldness to enter into the presence. Who's been addressed here? The Hebrews. They're being taught something they can understand. Something they can relate to. Paul is breaking it down at the basics. They don't get it all yet, but they're trying to understand. So he writes this to them. But there's more. Jesus came as the way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But here's what he does. Think about this. He becomes the high priest, and he makes us the way. I'll show that to you in the words. He becomes the high priest, and we become the way. He's gone to heaven. He's the high priest. We just read it. He said, having the high priest over the house of God. Now he tells the Jew, let us draw near. Let us draw near. That's not very Pauline. But he's talking to the Jews. And that's, you know, there's some things that make some people think that the book of Hebrews was not written by Paul. But they can't tell us who else would have written it. It is Paul's very language. He's made us the way. We are the way today. I'll show that to you. We are the way today. And that's why, look at Jesus. He came to lead man back to the presence. He came to lead man back to the presence. In God's presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. The Bible says, when he died, we died. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. Now, he's seated in God's heaven, but in the place of power. And we are seated together with him. So, but we are here in the earth. But our authority comes from heaven. Right? Okay. So, today, what do? We use his name. His name has exactly the same power that he has as a person. His name represents everything that he is. This will tell you why this prayer of, oh God, please, oh God, help me, oh God, do this for me. You're wasting time. Praying like that will never help you. Praying like that is insulting to God. Because he gave you his name. Jesus doesn't beg for anything in the earth. It all belongs to him. And we're joint heirs together with him. But if you're looking at circumstances and thinking like men, you will not understand it. You'll be thinking of how to pray in such a way that he should hear you. How to pray in such a way that he will be convinced. You don't need to convince him. Don't try. In the earth today, we are supposed to be functioning for him, acting in his stead. Hear what I'm telling you. Hear what I'm telling you. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change your prayer life. What do you want to ask him for? He gave you everything. According to the scriptures, he gave you everything. What do you want to ask for? Doesn't make sense to say, oh God, help me with my business. Doesn't make sense. Help you with your what? He should help you with your business. What do you want him to help you with? Now you're so quiet, it's amazing. No, what do you want him to help you with? If you don't know the scriptures, you would think it's okay. But as a baby, you can talk like that. Blah, 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 blah. You might as well. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You might as well. Just pray like that. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. I wonder what you are. Doesn't matter that you're crying. It's a senseless prayer. What are we supposed to be doing? He gave us his name to carry out business in his behalf. He gave us, I want you to understand, he gave us his name to carry out business in his behalf. Struggling is unnecessary. Why do many Christians struggle? They struggle for money, they struggle for their business, they struggle. Do you know the reason they struggle? They're selfish. Selfish men will always struggle. They will always struggle. As long as you are selfish. You might be saying, oh God, if you do this for me, you will see what I will do with the gospel. You will say, what have you done with the one I gave you before? If you had the discipline to manage whatever he gave you, it would have multiplied. The fact that whatever he gave you came down to zero is to show that you were indisciplined. How can God give you something and it comes down to nothing? And then you're asking him for what? He's an investor. He's an investor. Why should he give you more? No, if you were a businessman and you invested money and they lost the business, lost your money, you give them more?
No.
So what you have to do is appeal for your foolishness and say, oh God, I'm sorry. I was really stupid. Now I am wise. Okay, now that you're wise, he has to test you again.
Yes, sir.
See, he has to help you come up. Don't say, Lord, now you're going to be asking for 10, even 100 times what you blew before. He's not going to do it like that. That's the reason he hasn't done it. Because some of you're wondering why he hasn't done it. That's, I've just told you his message. That's why he hasn't done it. That's why you can imagine that he sends, you see some people who you don't think are as smart as you. How can they have so much money? They don't even know what to do with the money, yet more money is coming to them. But you that has plans. I mean, you have plans. You have a lot to do for God. Oh God, if you give me this money, I know what I will do. What did you do the first time? There's more than enough money in the world with your name on it. You say, Lord, why are they coming to me now? And that's what I've explained to you already. There's nothing you should ask for. As a baby, you can be asking. You say, but didn't the Bible say, ask and I shall give you? Keep on asking then. Continue. But I've moved. Hallelujah. I'm moved. I'm a prince, a son in the house. I'm a grown son, an adopted son. You know what that means? You've come to the adoption. See, that means you've come to the place of kingship. You've been raised. That's what we mean by the heotesia. I am a prince with power. I can handle stuff. I'm trained. That's the adopted son. is trained. The other son, still a rascal. Daddy, I broke it. You broke it. All the time you come back, I broke it. This one is dealing with authority. You are asking for things. Everything you see, Lord Jesus, I need a house. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I need money. Oh, Jesus. I'm only asking for $130,000. Oh, Jesus. Bless my business. He won't talk like that for you. He won't come down to that level. He's a king. He doesn't want you crawling. I'm begging him. When you lie down to pray, are you asking for things? I'm begging him, I'm rolling, oh God, if you want me to roll 50 times, I will. If you want to do it 100 times, go ahead. That won't change his mind. He's a king. He raises kings. He raises kings. He raises kings. What is it you want? Now I'm asking you, what is it you want? You'd be surprised at how quickly anything that you want will come to you. There's no earthly thing that he hasn't given you. There's none. Do you believe? Do you believe it? Do you truly believe it? Really? Acts chapter 9, from verse 1. Let's read it quickly. What does it say? And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of... The church is already being called this way. In the Greek, it doesn't read like you say it in English, any of this way. It is any of the way in the present. That is the way. But that's why English says this way, because it shortens it. It says this way. It is the way. But this one, it's located. So it brings it to the present. A particular one. This. You see. That's very interesting. That the church is called the way. After Jesus says he is the way. Acts chapter 18. Go to verse 25. Read it. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? I want you to use the New International Version as I read these next ones to you. Acts chapter 22 from verse 1. Read. Mm-hmm. I persecuted the followers of what?
His way.
Acts chapter 24, verse 14. Still read from the NIV. Want to go? Can you see? So the sect was what called the way. And they called the way a sect. That's a church. They called them heretical, but that's the way. The church is the way. So, the church is the way. The people called it this way. Why? Because they're looking for the way. So they said, this way. No, no. There's another way. So that's what it is. It is the way. But they said, this particular, this kind, this one here. Which one are they looking for? That's why Jesus said, I am the way. Because they're looking for a way to the presence. But there's a way revealed, a new and living way. And it's Jesus. And we are now the bearers of his message. We are the way. So who are you? If you understand your ministry, you'll see why you're being trusted by Jesus Christ. You are the way. You are to show men the presence of God. And here is the most interesting part of it. Oh God, not only has he made us the way, just like Jesus, just like Jesus, just like Jesus. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible says he was speaking of the temple of his body. He is the way. He is the way. And yet, think about it. He's the temple. The temple of God. He says, destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. Remember when he was crucified, a soldier thrust a spear through his side. What happened? Blood and water came out. And the Bible says, he that saw it bore witness. He that saw it bore witness. Why? Because every day, whenever they were in Jerusalem, and they visited the Temple Mount, and from there they went to the brook Kidron, the Kidron Valley, and went to the Mount Olives. And sometimes Jesus resorted at the garden with his disciples. As they went through that Kidron Valley, they saw water and blood coming out of the temple from the sacrifices. Every time there's a flow into the valley, as it washed down as required by the law, the blood and water from the animal sacrifices, blood and water all the time, blood and water all the time. And when Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days, the Jews said he was talking about that temple. They said, look, how can you say you'll raise that temple up in 3 days? The Bible says, but he was talking about the temple of his body. And when he was on the cross, and that soldier thrust that spear through his side, and blood and water came out, John knew it. He knew it. This is God's temple. Blood and water flowing out, as it does from that temple over there. This is God's temple. Hallelujah. And now, he says to us, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll make you God's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you had the first tabernacle. All right? By Moses. And then you had the second tabernacle, which was a temple by Solomon. And then there was the third one. And this time, not really a Jew, it was Herod. Herod built it. And it was magnificent. It was beautiful. Now, here's the first temple. It's Jesus. Here's the second temple. It's you. And then, the third temple, just like it took the non-Jew and the Jews to build that magnificent temple of Herod, it's taken the Jews and the Gentiles that have come into Christ to build this third temple. Are you hearing me? And this one is the church. And each one of us is responsible in building this third temple. You have to be a part of it. Understand it. You've got to be a part of it. This is what we're doing when we're sending out Rhapsody, when we're doing healing school, all the things we're doing, all our outreaches, all our programs. We're building God's temple. Every new soul that you bring is like you put another material there in that temple, beautifying God's house. Each one of us is responsible for it. We're building God a magnificent temple, the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because he calls it a temple that is not made by hands, but by the Spirit of the living God. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we are, according to the word, laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Are you a co-laborer?
Yes.
Yes, that's who we are. We are laborers together with God, building this third temple. Herod built his own. Now we must build for God. Are you following this? Yes. 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 And there's something very interesting about it. You know, Jesus said, for the temple that Herod built, he said, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be brought down. He said, it's going to be destroyed. That third temple was going to be destroyed. And in 70 AD, it was razed to the ground. But Daniel saw a vision. A stone that was cut without hands. And he said, in the days of the kings, that stone would destroy the whole structure and become a great mountain and cover the whole earth. That's the church of Jesus Christ. We are not beggars. Take your mind away from yourself. Are you hearing me? Take your mind away from yourself. Think more about him. Because everything you ever need in this life has been made available to you. The moment you turn to him, you'll be amazed at the sudden flow. What will be coming into your life? Everything you require for life and godliness has been made available to you already in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, as we conclude tonight, I want you to think of certain things. Make up your mind to walk in love.
Amen.
Make up your mind to walk in the Word of God. Be like Jesus. Think like him. Act like him. Speak his words. Use his words. Speak his language. Make that decision. Let Jesus inspire you. Are you hearing? Let Jesus inspire you. Keep the thoughts of Jesus burning in your mind. Think about him. Meditate on his words. Talk about him. Declare your love for Jesus Christ. Talk about your love for him. Be a fire for him. Stir the embers within you. So you have that fire all the time. About Jesus Christ. I know why I tell you this. Because in heaven, nothing else matters. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. This is the one who gave his life for us, who died for us. He gave everything. He says, greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Give him your mind. Give him your heart. Give him your attention. Not because of what you want from him, but because of what he's already done. He's already done more. He's done everything. And for your information, there's nothing more for him to do. He's done everything. He gave you his life. He gave you his name. He gave you his wealth. He gave you his seat in heaven. What else would you ask for? What else would you ask for? Now, we are supposed to be ambassadors of Christ. What an honor. Now we pray. We pray for others. We bring good things into the lives of men. When we see people who are suffering, the compassions of our Master will be stirred within us. And we want to reach out to them. We want to help them. That's who we are now. Not men and women seeking help from God. Seeking something from God. Asking to be blessed and to be delivered. It's so annoying. No, you don't need deliverance. No, don't let Satan deceive you. As he has deceived many. Making them feel that they need deliverance from him. No, if the devil appeared to you tonight. And he said, I've conquered you. You shouldn't give him attention. You know, I mean, people get frightened. They say, I dreamt of the devil. I was running. The devil was after me. He said he would kill me. And now they're afraid. Please pray for me. The devil said he's going to kill me. The devil said he's going to kill you. And you are afraid of him? Because you don't know Jesus. The Bible says he has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things. Everyone. He's given him a name. No, you on Sunday, you were there when we were casting out devils. That's an honor from Jesus. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. In my name. Cast out devils. Yes, we don't give them a chance. No, I don't give the devil a chance around me. I say, hush. Hush. Right? No, things have changed. Yes. Ah, things have changed. Yes. Things have changed. And let me tell you something. Don't wait. You don't need to wait. There's room for overtaking. There's room. I made up my mind years ago that I was going to do everything that God said to do. I was going to be as bold as God will have me. Yes. I'm going to give his confessions, his words. I'll speak his words. Yeah. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. What does that mean? We are bearing the fruits. Look at this. You understand the fruits? Love, meekness, temperance. No, those ones are the ones the Spirit produces in us. They are not the fruits we bear unto him. Are you hearing me? We are producing what we call fruits of righteousness. That's not all. That's not all. That's just one of them. In fact, you know, I was going through the scriptures and I found 12 of them. And I thought, 12? 12 different fruits, my goodness, that we are bearing to the Lord. I went over into Revelation. I found out the tree of life produced 12 different types of fruits every month. 12. Every month. One of them that's very beautiful, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Giving thanks. Thanksgiving is one of the fruits. Can you shout amen? Woo! Woo! I don't know whether I should give you all of that to say. But this is, you know, let me just take a little more time because this is the final one, okay? So just a few more minutes. But this is important. Think about it. We're producing fruit for the king. Yeah. Did you know your offerings are part of them? Did you know your tithes are part of them? Where are your tithes? Where are your offerings? You are a fruit-bearing part. You are. He says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Did you know that? Then think about your confessions. Your confessions. Your confessions. Glory to God. You're producing fruit every month. Thank God we have a monthly communion service where you can review what you've been doing. So every month you can look through your life. Maybe I should give you, can I give you this 12 of them, all right? All right. So I'm not going to rush to them. Number one, good works. We produce good works. Good works. Yeah. Number two, worship. Worship. Number three, tithes. Number four, offerings. Number five, thanksgiving. Number six, praise. Number seven, joy. Number nine, restored souls. You know, we're restoring people who have strayed away. We'll bring them back to the Lord. We're producing fruits. Then number 10, nations. We're bringing nations. Not only do we win souls, but we even bring nations to God. 11, words of confession. Our confessions. Words. We're producing words. Words confessing his name. Making confessions of his name. And then number 12, prophecy. 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 He told you to prophesy. You produce prophetic words. These are fruits of our lips. They're coming out of our mouths. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So every month, look through these different types of fruits. Are you producing them? Then get excited! Hallelujah. No wonder it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The tree of life. You are going from glory to glory.
Amen.
Can you shout amen?
Amen?
Refuse to entertain negative thoughts. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
One of the things that Satan likes to do is to produce fear. To make you feel like things are going to get harder for you, like he owns the world. You know? Like he owns the world. And sometimes you don't realize it. You think you're the one thinking. No wonder he says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't allow just any thought coming. Stop the fear. Stop the unbelief. The more knowledge of negative things you have, the more fear will attack you. Because that's his material. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Play the messages. Listen to the word of God. Are you hearing me? That's what I do. I listen to the word. I have my earphones. Once I plug them in there, whether I'm on the treadmill or anywhere, in fact, every time I get on the treadmill, I plug my ears. And I'm listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. Okay? I've got to listen. I've got to listen. As I'm listening, I'm stretching. I'm oh Lord, my. Hey, yeah. And every once in a while, I do a little dance. I say, Lord, woo, glory to God. Hiya. Sometimes I can't even dance. I just start crying. I say, Lord Jesus, oh, you're so full of love. You're so glorious. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. Lord Jesus. Oh, love personified. Then I cry. I weep. Then I laugh. Oh. You know, I got all the emotions listening to the word of God. Sometimes I just can't take it. I said, Lord Jesus, I can't take more of this. I can't take more of this. It's too much. You know, what would I say? What would I say? Even to think that he has made me the way to the Father's presence. Think about it. I am the way to the Father's presence. Maybe you didn't get it. Look at it. When the Holy Ghost came and got tabernacled in the quarters of my body, I became God's living tabernacle. I'm God's moving house. Can you shout amen, somebody? So the house, I don't just try to drag them to go find the presence of God. When I come, the house of God comes. Can you shout amen, somebody? We are the temple of the living God. We are the temple. He lives in me. In every fiber of my being. In every bone of my body. He dwells in me. And I know it. The Holy Ghost is in me. Oh, blessed be God. As the Lord, what can I not do? What can I not do? All things are possible to him that believeth. And that's me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm what God says I am. I inherit all things. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Boy, I'm rich. Rich. Ah. And you know what? The day you discover that you are the temple of God, you will find that men are bringing all the treasures to the temple of God. Woo! Because one of the ministries of the temple is to sanctify the gold. And they're going to be bringing the gold into the temple. This is the house of God. Hallelujah. But there must be praise in that temple. So he said, brother, where is your praise? I said, where is your praise? If you're not praising God, where is that temple then? Because in the temple of God, there must be praise. There must be joy. Say, I'm bearing fruit. Yeah. And joy is one of them. You know, you might just be feeling like, oh, it's a dull day. No, just let me tell you something. You saw me when I came in. That was just me. You know, I don't care about who's there. Whether the members are just staring at you like, what's wrong with this fool? Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Hey, glory! Hey! Then after shouting, you can start preaching. Amen. Yeah. The enemy might want to remind you of some things. As he's reminding you. And then he might even remind you of some symptoms. Then just go, woo! Let the church be an exciting place. Just in the same way that you take the word of God into you voraciously, also be a giver. See, a giver. You might even be called a reckless giver, but give. That's the way you should be. Give. Because that's your only route to the top and continually moving upward. I'm always moving upward. Now, if you've been watching me for years, you will know I've only been like this. Yeah, upward and forward. I don't have another journey. I have no ups and downs. I'm always like this. I mean, the whole world can be shaking around me, but I am very stable. I'm going like this. I'm not distracted at all. I don't get distracted. I don't. You know, everything can be shaken. No. I'm going up. My eyes are set. Did you ever listen to the introduction? I'm set on a course that I must follow. That's it. Remember, I'm set on a course that I must follow. There's no this way and that way. No, the Lord told me. He said, turn not to the right hand or to the left. He told me. 1980, God spoke to me. And he told me the journey I was to make, how I was to go. And he told me, do not turn to the right hand or to the left. And I've kept it. And he told me, be very courageous. And I have been. He instructed me. Told me, no matter what happens, says, be not dismayed. So I have maintained exactly what he told me. I've stayed like that. No matter, I'm like this, upward and forward, making progress only, and shaking the world for Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God.